This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Amherst Hockey, tonight at 7 on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's check in with our Radio.com sports sister station, WGR's Sal Capaccio, our ears and eyes at the Senior Bowl, Mobile, Alabama. Sal, great of you to make some time for us. We know how hectic it is down there. Thank you, and how are you?
I'm pretty good. Thankfully, you guys haven't replaced the guests with robotic guests like they are doing for baseball. So I'm still here.
You know, Sal, I wanted to ask you a question, but before we get to the football stuff, how is it that Derek Jeter was not unanimous? I mean, can we out the person that didn't vote for him?
I have no idea. And here's the thing. Wait a minute now. I'm surprised, actually. I actually did not think he'd be even that close to unanimous. I would have voted for him, of course. I'm a Yankee fan. I love Derek Jeter, and he deserves to be in. But knowing the history of Hall of Fame voters, I did not expect him to even be like to only have one vote. That shocked me, and that was way higher than I thought. But now that we know it's only one vote, it's like, who the hell did that?
Well, I mean, I feel like this is the one time a year where we always have this debate, and it always comes back to, you know, I just picture just an angry, disgruntled old writer just with an axe to grind. Say, no, not on my watch. He doesn't get in.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I think what hurt, and a lot of times people say, you know, playing on the Yankees helps people, which is right. I mean, you play in a big market, any sport helps you. I think going into this, and now obviously you can't say it now because he did have so many votes, but I think playing on the Yankees, to me, a lot of times it was going to hurt Jeter when it came to the process of the Hall of Fame because there were so many stars he played with and he won rings. But the numbers, people would say, well, you know, the numbers weren't among the best every year with these guys, but he played in the Yankees and he won, so he's going to get in. And I think it was almost going to hurt him. It didn't. So like I said, I'm kind of surprised that happened, but good for him. It's funny. Did you read Larry Walker's comment about going in with Derek Jeter?
No, I did not.
Something about my Pat Malacaro from our station, who play-by-play for the Bison, he wrote it, and that's where I read it. I guess Larry Walker was asked about going in on the same, you know, card as Derek Jeter at the same time, and he said it's like being the B-side of an album.
That's right.
That's kind of funny.
Sal, first of all, just, you know, you're in Mobile, Senior Bowl. I know this isn't your first time down there, your first rodeo down there, but, you know, paint a picture for us. You know, what is that entire atmosphere like? And we know the entire football scouting world kind of converges in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah. One more time. What's it like here, basically, is what you're asking?
Yeah, paint a picture for your ears and eyes down there.
So everybody, okay, so it's interesting because, first of all, every team is here. They have scouts, front office, head coaches, assistant coaches. Like, I went out to dinner Monday night with some people, and in walks the entire Bills contingent. It's Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, their new D-line coach, Eric Washington, Chad Hall was there, the receivers coach, on and on and on, assistant GM Joe Shane, all those guys. See, I see that a lot. Agents, lots of agents are here. Anybody who's connected to the football world seems like they're here if it's their business to get football players either into the NFL or draft football players into the NFL. But on top of that, the other thing I noticed is, look, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but every single person who's affiliated with a draft blog somewhere is here,
yes,
guys. And they all have credentials. All right? And it's amazing to me. Like, this is their Super Bowl. If you write for a draft blog somewhere, it's like, you're in Mobile because this is your Super Bowl. And the other part of it is, it's a lot easier to get credentials. I don't say that in a demeaning way, but a lot of people on blogs like that and websites like that, they can't go to a lot of the bigger events. They wouldn't be able to go to the combine maybe, or you know, other types of NFL games, even game credentials. But the Senior Bowl, you want to come here, you're coming here.
I love the fact that everybody's down there, decision makers for Buffalo, McDermott, Beam, assistant coaches, and all the other teams send their scouts. But Is it typical, or are the Bills kind of alone in this? Where on that spectrum, Sal, would you say everybody is down from the organization, all decision makers with the head coach, the GM, all scouts, coaching staff? Where do the Bills fit in on that spectrum?
I would think that every team would have everybody here. And here's why, guys. This is where they do interviews. Like, this is before all the combine and the visits. They can talk. The rules are way more relaxed for teams here. They talk to the guys, the players, as much as they want, and there's no kind of limitations. You don't get 15 minutes like you do at combine.
Yeah.
You can talk for 5 minutes with them. You can talk for 20, 25 minutes with them. And on top of that, by the way, it's not just those guys. I'm telling you, I saw regional scouts for the Bills here. Like, guys who you would never know who they are behind the scenes, who I've gotten to know and I've met and I've seen around, you know, the facility or the building. And you know what their job is? Their job is to kind of observe. They're observing these guys and what they're doing. It's really interesting. I talk with Brandon Bean about this a little bit. And they're not just kind of watching the guys or listening to them in interviews. They're watching them when they walk into the hotel, how they walk, how they carry themselves, who they're hanging around with. Brandon Bean even told us they'll know. They'll write down and pay attention to how quickly the guy texts back to them. If they text them to say about an interview, how quick is he getting back? Is he a pain in the butt to get a hold of? Because if that's the case now, that's probably when he's going to be like when he gets to be a professional. And this is also super interesting. The last time they get them before these guys get coached up, so to speak, you know, they're all going to get coached up by PR people and their agents and how to talk and how to be in these interviews. This is kind of the last time you get raw interviews with them and you can really get a sense for who the player is. That's why it's really interesting to be here for all this. And that's why everybody, you know, brings down. I just saw Bill Belichick on the field. Nick Saban is here. I went in the parking lot, and I think I almost got run over by Thomas Dimitroff. He was flying around the corner so fast. I'm just kidding. But, no, I looked up, and it was him and his SUV. So everybody.
Yeah, that would be a terrible way to go, Sal, getting hit by an NFL decision-maker. Sal, is there a lot of B2B talk then? In other words, is this where GMs start discussing trades and whatnot? Is the place flooded with agents trying to peddle their upcoming free agents? Because I always thought it was, hey, that starts really out of the combine, but is that stuff starting now?
Yeah, this is definitely like kind of the seeding for it. I don't think they get into all that because I think they're way more concentrated on, you know, meeting the players. This is, again, because it's such an opportunity for them to meet the players. But, of course, you're going to have those conversations. And maybe you start to, hey, let's talk at the combine. Hey, what do you think? You know, what are you guys looking at? Are you looking for, a wide receiver this year or whatever? Maybe that starts. But I think those talks are more so what you said, which is really that starts at the combine. When you're all there, it's more of a formal setting. This is really about getting to know the players. And I'll give you an example of that is, so after practice today, I wanted to make sure I got with Alton Robinson. Now, obviously, he played defensive end at Syracuse, and that's part of the reason I wanted to talk with him. I went to Syracuse, but also it's one of the only real, quote-unquote, local connections, right? There's no University of Buffalo guy here this year. So I'm standing there with our friend Sal Marana, the two Sals. We're waiting to interview Alton Robinson, and I'm telling you guys, we could not talk to him for like 20 minutes because two Baltimore Ravens scouts just stood with him and talked with him and fired questions. And I'm listening in. I'm like eavesdropping. And they're asking him questions like, what would you do if you got $1 million? I mean, like, it's just, they're asking like weird questions that you hear these stories about these questions. They're doing it right there on the field at the Senior Bowl.
Sal Capaccio in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl, our ears and eyes. And we heard Brandon Bean talk to you and talk to Buffalo media yesterday from the Senior Bowl. I love what I perceive as a very energetic and positive approach to what he's got going on down there. I mean, I view it as he's looking at a blank canvas right now, and he's got all of his color palettes laid out. He's ready to get to work, and it starts with talking to the guys that he's meeting there this week in Mobile. And you touched on some of the stuff, the evaluating of guys and their character as to how quickly they respond to a text and all that. Brandon Bean is attacking this, I think, differently than Bills fans are used to seeing a GM attack the pre-draft process.
Why do you think it's different? Like in what regard? I could see that. What do you think? Maybe other GMs were to compare it to.
I go back to previous regimes, and I just think it was more about kind of the show of being down there and just you know what I'm saying. Like
it's a good observation. No, I didn't think of it in those terms. I agree with you. I think that's what you know. What I think what the difference is. And you're right about that. I'm just curious that's a really good observation you made that I never thought of it that way. but it's right because if you think about some of the other regimes, I think the difference is these guys really care about what even they call the DNA of the player, right? I mean, it's sure, those things matter to other regimes. Like, you don't want a guy that, yeah, we're going to draft him, then he's going to be, you know, arrested in 3 days, you know, and what kind of risk are we taking on? But I do think that there is a difference in we're going down there and we're going to find the right football players, you know, to come in and, you know, make an impact on our football team. Whereas Brandon Bean's like, well, let's make sure that's the kind of person we want to fit into our organization before we can take that step. And look, I think they've demonstrated that that is truly what they believe when you go back and look at, you know, their draft picks, even Ed Oliver.
Sure.
You know, Ed Oliver lost his starting job because he was not doing the things that, you know, he needed to do on the football field and fitting in right. And they're not just going to go and we're just getting the best players and putting them on the field. Like, there is a science to what they're doing here, and they believe in their process.
Yeah, and I think, you know, evaluating character aside, you know, the Bills and Brandon Bean specifically, and I know he mentioned this at the end of the season, but, you know, this is an area now where he can look at what his team, he knows what he has, he knows what's available to him, and when you hear him talk about specifically like the wide receiver class, you got to get a good sense that he's got a destination in his stride, and he's going to hone in and zero in on who he thinks is going to be a better fit for this team than somebody else.
That's right. He will do that. He will not, however, just take a, not that you're suggesting this, he will not take a wide receiver 22 just because they need a wide receiver.
Yes.
He will let the draft come to them,
yes.
Right?
Right.
But you're right. He's only, but the guy he's going to take, it's not necessarily the most talented guy. Now, he better be really talented if you're going to take a guy in first round or second round. I'm not saying they're just going to sacrifice that, but he's got to check a lot of boxes for them. And I'll tell you, like, the way that they build it, just kind of watching how they've drafted, who they've drafted, I think, you know, they want guys who are a little bit more mature. I think, you know, experience has mattered to them, especially in their first year drafting when McDermott was drafted. They got a lot of guys who had been, you know, seniors, guys who have played a lot of football. But they really care about, you know, who the person, the type of person they're bringing to Buffalo, because that matters to who they are. That's who they hire. It goes beyond football, guys. I mean, who they hire for their staff, their front office, and their coaching staff, they want people who fit into their culture and their process in the Buffalo community. So, you know, that's how they operate in everything decision they make.
Sal Capaccio's in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl practices. Our guest here in the sports bar. The first position group I'm going to ask about the Bills, it's actually not the wide receiver group, Sal. With the news last week that John Feliciano had the shoulder injury, Cody Ford, has the offensive line become a strong area of need for the Buffalo Bills, whether that be free agency, whether that be the draft, Sal? The idea that the Bills are going to go into this offseason needing to get more help on that O-line.
I think they need a little depth. I don't think they need a starter necessarily. Now, a lot of this is going to depend on what happens with Quentin Spain. Quentin Spain is set to become a free agent. He had a great year. He played every single snap except at the end of a couple games when they were like the Giants, they were up, and then the Eagles, they were down. So, but he basically played every snap, and he didn't allow a sack all season. He had a really nice year. Now he's hitting free agency. Now I don't think he's going to be breaking the bank, but he set himself up nicely here for a nice contract. He said he would like to come back to Buffalo, even do something before free agency starts. But let's just say he returns. Let's say the Bills find a way to keep him. I don't see, even if they took a lineman at 22, which some people think they can or do or will, where's he playing? Who's he starting over? He's not going to start over Deion Dawkins or Quentin Spain or Mitch Morse or even John Feliciano, who put together a heck of a year at right guard. Oh, he's not going to start over Cody Ford, who is a rookie now going into his second year. They invested that in him, and then he played a lot last year. So I think they need the depth, though. I think they put together a nice line. Now, if Quentin Spain doesn't resign, now you have a couple options. You can look free agency draft to replace him, or you can move Cody Ford into guard, and now you're thinking about, now do you need a right tackle? So I think a lot of this depends on what Quentin Spain does.
Sal, what about the other pending free agents? What did we learn about the future status of Shaq, Jordan Phillips potentially? Did we learn anything from Brandon Bean's comments yesterday on their futures in Buffalo?
I think there was a clue that, you know, when Brandon said, you know, we'd obviously love to keep everybody, but some of these guys, they want to test their market value. They want to go on the market, and they've earned every right to do that. Good for them. And I agree. I mean, that's what you put in the work, and you've earned that right to go out and see what your market is, and you should do that. And he didn't say his name, but I'm going to tell you, I think Jordan Phillips is right up there with that. I think Jordan Phillips believes he should be paid really good money, like probably top five, top six defensive tackle money after putting together 9.5 sacks, I'm sorry, from the defensive tackle spot, led the AFC. I don't think the Bills are in that market. They're not going to give Jordan Phillips that kind of contract. So, sure, go ahead, Jordan. See if you can get it from somewhere. And if you do, great. That's awesome for you. If not, you know, here's what we're going to offer you and bring you back. Shaq's an interesting case. Shaq is an ascending player to me. He's had 4 years, and he's had a really nice career arc in his 4 years. 6.5 sacks last year. I think he's really become a mature player on and off the field, understanding what they want from him. But he doesn't put up, now he put up 6.5 sacks, but he's not an elite pass rusher. He's kind of an all-around defensive end. How much do you want to pay for that? And considering it was his contract year, I think you do have to think about, if he gets paid, is he going to still be the same guy that's been on this really nice career arc and trajectory?
Sal Capaccio, our guest here in the sports bar. Check him out on radio.com, station WGR, our guest here in the sports bar. Sal, I love your point about the offensive line that, okay, if Quentin Spain comes in, whoever you're drafting, not necessarily an upgrade, at least not out of the gate. What about the wide receiver position? Because, you have Brown, you have Beasley, but if you go to four wide, can we say the Buffalo Bills, whether that's free agency or through the draft, can be searching for an upgrade at the third and the fourth wideout position here?
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, if you look at their roster right now, you have John Brown and Cole Beasley. Who's the number three wide receiver? Because I think you could make a case for somebody. There is nobody on the roster that you say, oh, that's the number three wide receiver. They got three guys. They got two guys. They got John Brown. They got Cole Beasley. And you could even make a case that they need a guy to supplant John Brown as number one and make him the number two. That's fine. But as it stands, they only have two guys. Isaiah McKenzie, I guess, played the most snaps. Maybe he's your number three, but is he really? By the way, he's also a restricted free agent. You're going to have to pay him the qualifying offer of $2 million, which is around what it's going to be. The numbers haven't come out yet, to give him the first right of refusal even. You're probably going to have to let him go to free agency and then try to bring him back in a cheaper deal. Is it Robert Foster? Now, he is an equal rights free agent, so that means they only have to offer him the minimum salary for a third-year player, so I expect they're going to do that. But he was invisible last year. He didn't play that much. Is it Duke Williams? People think he could be the number three guy. I don't know. I mean, he had 10 targets in the playoff game, and Josh threw it to him a lot. He had four catches. Did he really scream that he needs to be on the field all the time as a number three guy? So, yeah, I think wherever they go, they could draft a guy that literally could step right onto the field and in 11 personnel be a starter for day one.
Sal, before we let you go and get back to the festivities there at the Senior Bowl, we had Jim Kelly on with us yesterday, and we asked him a question about what he would see, what he would like to see out of Josh Allen in 2020. This was his response.
I think what I'd like to see is him be more of a quarterback than an athlete. He is such a good athlete. I think at times he relies on his athletic ability a little bit too much, maybe.
Is that prudent coaching strategy for handling Josh Allen and developing Josh Allen in year three, or is it a better philosophy to say, you know what, we know what his strengths are, we certainly know what his weaknesses are, we've seen both of them on display throughout the course of his two-year career, let's build something around what makes Josh Allen great, his athleticism, his strengths?
Yeah, I don't think you ever want to go away from taking away, and not to say Jim said they should take it away, right, but I don't think you ever want to. To me, it'd be neutering Josh Allen if you say, well, you know, we don't really want you to run. Hey, look what he did in that playoff game, that run he had. They were smarter about it. He was smarter about it as last year went on. I think that was the right way to use him. You still can use him in, you know, athletic situations to run the football, but he extends plays so well. You don't want to just make him just this pure pocket passer. But at the same time, he does have to develop that part of his game even more. He took strides last year. You know, at one point he was middle of the pack completion percentage, but then towards the end of the year, once again, he wound up the lowest completion percentage of any qualifying quarterback. He had a couple of really nice games. Dallas was close to 80%, so he can do that. You do have to still refine that part of his game, but I think that comes with reps and doing things. I don't think that the team should just try to pigeonhole him into being, I know Jim says, more of a quarterback, less than an athlete. I want to see his athleticism flourish, but I think that he still needs to refine more of his passing skills.
Sal, how long are you going to be down in Alabama for?
Literally till 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'm actually headed down, and I'm flying back out of Pensacola. I'm done here. I was here for 2 days. I watched 2 days of practice. I got with Brandon Bean with the local Bills media, got with Alton Robinson of Syracuse, wanted to do that, but got a lot of sound from guys at Media Day. That's it for me. The game doesn't matter. You know, it's like, who cares who wins the game? I'm just worried about practices and interviewing some people and talking with people. So I'll be headed out of here tomorrow, and I'm actually flying out of Pensacola. It's a lot cheaper. So it's like an hour ride. It's not bad. It's like going from Buffalo to the Rochester exit on the thruway, basically. And, you know, you're at the airport in Pensacola.
Perfect, Sal. Safe travels, and thanks so much for being our eyes and ears down there at the Senior Bowl.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Talk to you soon. Sal Capaccio. You can, of course, read his work at ESPNRochester.com, our radio.com sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo.
Almost got run over by Thomas Dimitroff.
That would be a bad way to go.
It would be bad.
I don't think that's a good way to go.
No.
You don't want to be the guy running over Sal Capaccio, and you don't want to be the guy that died because you got run over by Thomas Dimitroff.
Jeez.
So who's who of NFL executives and coaches down there in Mobile, and Sal's in the middle of it all.
Just be advised, okay, if the Bills are texting you or some coaches, respond to the text right away. It's a continuous job interview.
It's just common sense. Do you have common sense? Yes. Check the box. Yes. If not, go find somewhere else to play. It's pretty simple. I love it. I do like what Brandon, I like his tone. I like his energy. I like his enthusiasm about the process. You can hear it. In how he's answering questions and fielding questions. There's a destination in his stride. He knows and he's confident of where this team is, what this team needs, and now it's just on him to go get it.
It seems like the homework's been done here for the scouting and everything. Now let's just try to kind of dig in, confirm, find out questions. Let's follow up with people. That is what separates Brandon Bean from other GMs in my book. As far as he's just rolling his sleeves up and getting really involved here at this time of year.
All right, Gino, let's call an audible here at the line of scrimmage and get to NFL appetizers. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years, online at alexsribs.com.
Do we have to talk about Antonio Brown?
Yeah, real quick updates on Antonio Brown.
I guess we got to talk about Antonio Brown. So the latest is, according to a Florida police, Brown has locked himself in his house. He's a suspect in a battery of a driver of a moving truck and is ignored attempts made by police to get in contact with him. Now, last night, Browns trader Glenn Holt, who come to find out actually played with the Bengals years ago, he was arrested for felony, burglary, and battery. Last week, of course, Drew Rosenhaus, the agent, terminated his relationship with Brown in hopes of getting him help, and we're hoping he finally is going to get it.
Listen, the Jags actually maybe did something smart here with their new hire at offensive coordinator. They've given themselves a little bit of a safety net if things go south with Doug Marrone early in the season. Jay Gruden is now the new offensive coordinator in Jacksonville, replacing John DeFilippo, who was fired after just 1 year on the job. He's now the Bears quarterbacks coach. And Gruden was fired, of course, in Washington after an 0-5 start to the 2019 season. But he was in that job dating back to 2014. He was also the Bengals offensive coordinator for 3 years before he went to Washington.
Who's the classiest man in sports today? I would nominate Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald, of course, he's got legendary status in Arizona, and then he announced he's going to come back in 2020. He's also making investments there locally. He's now got a minority stake in the Phoenix Suns. He becomes the second active NFL player to buy into an NBA team. Green Bay's Aaron Rodgers owns a stake in the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, for Fitzgerald, this season's going to be his 17th with Arizona. He has remained close with Suns owner Robert Sarver during that time. He sat in on interviews with front office candidates, worked with the team on other issues. Plus, well, he's been a season ticket holder since 05.
All right, here's an alert, something to not watch if you're a Buffalo Bills fan. Do not watch this if you're a Bills fan. This is news designed to make you want to drink. It's a name we don't like hearing, and he's going to be hosting Saturday Night Live the night before the Super Bowl. Go ahead and don't watch Saturday Night Live the night before the Super Bowl as J.J. Watt, who would rather be playing in the Super Bowl. I guess there's a silver lining there. He's not in the Super Bowl, but he will be hosting Saturday Night Live. That's his gig the night before the Super Bowl. Past SNL host you might remember from the NFL, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Tom Brady, John Madden, and more, all taking that microphone on stage there at 30 Rock. And now it's J.J. Watt's turn.
What are you talking about? They don't show him at all on TV at all. Like, when he's playing, I wish they would show the camera on him more.
I didn't even know he was active for the playoffs. Did you hear anything about that?
Not at all.
He was quiet.
No.
You know what? It wasn't quiet. It wasn't quiet when his team was choking away a 24-point lead against Kansas City. Then you weren't hearing a lot about J.J. Watt, were you? Okay. I can't be mad at the guy. He's like a humanitarian, and he, you know, we all wish we could be a little bit more like J.J. Watt, I think, deep down inside.
He's Tebow with talent, right?
Whoa.
Isn't that what...
Whoa.
Sorry.
All right.
Yes, he raised a lot of money. I get it.
Let's get to happy hour in the sports bar. If you're new to the show, welcome. Happy hours for you. 454-ESPN, 454-3776. If you want to join us, we've got a round of shots. We've got your takes coming up before 6 o'clock with Last Call. And we've got Amherst hockey for you later tonight as Rochester is in Cleveland to take on the Monsters. Don Stevens will be by with the call coming up later tonight at 7 o'clock as well. That's all on the way here on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.